Log Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. I'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you. This evening, we will be in New Jersey with Pastor Miles. I did get a text from him saying that there was thunderstorms and high rains, windstorms there. So we're hoping that that does not affect his ability to be able to get on this evening. So, you know, we're just going to move forward, and we know that the Lord is in control of all of this. Amen. For those of you who are listening by internet, we are interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of being able to call in and to participate. Amen. So when you call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be connected and with the interactive Bible study. Amen. Also, we'd like to inform you that for those of you who are listening for the first time, when you are listening, please make sure that you mute your device, whatever listening device that you use, and therefore it will not be a distraction to the speaker once he comes on. Amen. And the third thing we'd like to let you know is you can archive any of these messages. Pastor Miles has sent a text saying that it is lightning and thundering there. Okay, so what I'll probably have to end up doing is sitting in for him for this evening. And so we're just going to try to exegete the scriptures that he has here. And, you know me, I like to always open it up to for discussion, for there's so many pastors and ministers and brothers and sisters in Christ. So I always like to open it up for discussion. Amen. So we're going to do that. We will do that if he does not come on. So we're going to try to fill in the time why it is lightning. While it is lightning at this time, I don't know about you. Also, for you calling in, is 3-4-3-3-3-0. Oh, I'm sorry, I got a text. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and that is the call-in number. We just received a text. Someone was asking for the call-in number. And again, as we move forward on this, I'm sorry for the distractions. You can hear anything in the background. There's just so much going on at this time. So we do please apologize. We apologize for that. You can pull up any of the archives, any of the messages that any speaker has shared on Blog Talk Radio. You go into Blog Talk Radio, and then after you go into Blog Talk Radio, then you go into the archives. And once you go into the archives, you can you will type in "We Can Begin Again." We Can Begin Again, and that will let you, you know, that will open up for the archives. You can pull up any messages. I believe there's over 300 messages that we've had since we've begun. So you would be able to do that, amen. So we're asking that for those of you who would like to share with someone else, this is a ministry, amen, and is an opportunity for you to minister to family and friends. You know, but just having them listen to the archives, you can share it with any message that you've heard, and that's the beautiful thing of it. This has been recorded, amen. So you can always go back and listen to the messages.
And you can always send them links, too. And if you've received a text from us with a specific link in it to a message, it's a direct link to that particular message. You won't have to hunt for it. So all of our gatherings are recorded.
Amen. Amen. So that's an opportunity. You can send a link. That's the beautiful thing about technology today. Send a link, and all you have to do is hit that link, and it will open up. Okay. We're going to have prayer. Then after we have prayer, I guess I'm going to just have to fill in for Pastor Miles for this evening as we go through the text, as we interpret the text and what he was going to share with us this evening. Amen. Okay, we have on our prayer list those we have Pastor Paul Robinson. We continue to keep him in on our prayer list. The last we heard, I know he was going to Alabama for an operation. I believe his wife is having an operation, so we're going to continue to keep him up in prayer. Pastor Mixon, who is on a regular basis, amen, we're going to pray for her and her family. And she has requested for prayer. And one of the things we do is when someone asks for prayer, we continue praying, amen, until we hear a praise report, amen, and then they will come off our prayer list, amen. Others we have in prayer would be Corey Hamler from out of Virginia, Tina Hobbs. We have Trinita Hobbs. We have on our prayer list Janetta Hobbs, Diane Hobbs. We have the Hobbs on our prayer list. Amen. We're going to keep our brother Norman Rice in prayer on our prayer list as well, who comes on a regular basis. We'll keep him up in prayer as well. And are there any other others that you have?
Yes. We want to remember there's a pastor that I brought up last, doctor that I mentioned last week, Dr. Sam McGrath. We should pray for him and keep him high on your list. He's a father of small children. He is a medical doctor and has been diagnosed with he's now the patient. We want to pray for Nancy Shaw, that her hearing is, that her hearing and her systems have returned. The Durant family, for the Brown family, they're funeralizing a nephew this coming week. For children that are in traumatic and abusive and neglectful situations, we pray for our leadership that they would make wise decisions when it comes to our children and our family's health and reopening the school, that they would use wisdom as to when and how. We pray for Maddie that her bone marrow test is as it should be, and that she is completely restored from her bout with cancer. Mm-hmm. For Anne, who's having a needle biopsy, we lift her up. For Altamise Bell, Linda Taylor, we lift them up. Shirley Perkins, that she is restored as well. Gary Drinsky, Joan Simpson, Christine James, and Judy Thompson. We lift up Elisa Kazak, Deborah Hood, Sherry Stevenson, Lisa Doggett. We pray for all those that are struggling with depression, isolation, loneliness, and we pray for those who have endured racism and discrimination, that they also, those are traumatic events as well. And we pray for those that endure marginalization. Pearlie Keller, Jackie Kane, Matthew Stevenson, Patsy Coggins, and Paula Coggins, Marnita Robinson. We lift up those folks. And Shirley James, we continue to lift her up as well as the Matlock family. We place them at the altar. Father God, we praise your name this evening, dear Lord, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, dear Lord, and we come to you, Father God, because you are our creator. You are Jehovah Rapha, too, Lord. You are our healer. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that when we're ready, that when you send us out to fight, that you go before us, dear Lord, and you're Jehovah, you see our banner. We praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, dear Lord. We lift up these names that we've read off this evening, Father God, those that are in need of looking for healing, Father God, those that are looking to be comforted, Father God, those that are looking, Father God, for to be rescued, dear Lord. We lift up these names, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Father God, to send your Holy Spirit to comfort them, Father God. Send your Holy Spirit to counsel them, dear Lord, and to guide them, dear Lord. We remind them, Father God, and remind you, Father God, and thank you as well, Father God, for the brokenness that Christ endured on the cross, Father God, that his body was bruised and abused, Father God, for our name, for us, Father
yes.
God, for our brokenness, Father God, for our sins, for our transgressions, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, and we remind those that are listening, Father God, and remind you and thank you again, Father God, for the blood that was shed, that all diseases, the 66 stripes that were shed, Father God, that every single disease is represented on the earth, that exists on this earth, Father God, that has manifested itself in this earth, is wrapped up in that blood.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father God, that in that blood, the matchless name of Jesus and his blood, that we submit these prayers, Father God, expecting healing, expecting restoration, expecting rescue and protection in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that we're safe under your wing, Father God. We thank you, Father God, and praise you because you're wise. We praise you, Lord, because you're mighty, because you're holy, because you're God of God and Lord of lords. We praise you, Father God. We worship you. And we cast all these things that are not of you out, Father God, and receive all the things that are of you and that are good. And we look forward to the good report, Father. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we thank you. We come against all backlash and retaliation right now in the name of Jesus, that these prayers would go forth without hindrance, without interruption. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Okay, as we move on into the scripture, Pastor Miles, he had down, he was his scripture was Habakkuk 2:1-4, and it was Matthew, the book of Matthew also. But we're going to just digest one side, one area, and that is Habakkuk. We're going to focus on that. As we look at the scripture, it reads as such. It says, I will stand upon my watchtower. I will stand upon my watch. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what will say unto me and what shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets.
Amen.
I'm sorry, upon the tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet not appointed to me. But when the time, but at the end, it shall speak to me and not lie. Though tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, when we look at that, and I want to more so kind of break it down into an easier read, and it says, I will stand at my watch post and station myself at the tower and look out to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it plain on tablet,
mm-hmm.
so that he may run and read it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, it will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. And is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we go through this, and we're going to break it down verse by verse, and when we look at it, it says, I will stand at my watch posts and station myself on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
We can, when we look at, we can, there can be a number of things that we can look at. So the verse falls on two halves of this statement. One is, I will take my stand and watch and station myself on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Many translators will wish to follow this example in saying, you are using the word my watchtower rather than the tower. When we think about a watchtower, we think about a watchman climbing a tower in order to see a long way. I will take my stand at the watch or the watch post, meaning that I am going to go to my watch post and I am going to stand there and I'm going to wait. So when we look at a watch post, why does someone, when we look at a tower, why does someone go to a tower? We can say, you can use it as a watch post or when you look at a tower. And what I'm thinking that is saying in here is that when you look, when you go to a tower, a person that is in a tower is able to see far off, to see at a distance, to see at a distance. So here it's saying, I will take my stand at my watch post and the station myself at the tower and look out to see what he will say to me. Here, it's like Habakkuk is saying that he's standing at the watch post and he's waiting for an answer. Here it is, a man who is complaining, who has a complaint, and he's waiting to hear what is going to be in response to his complaint. Is going to be his response. So let's take it in terms of our day-to-day responses. There are some things going on in our lives, and it's going on in our lives, and what we're doing is we have concerns because we are waiting. We've already concerned. We've petitioned our concerns, and now we're waiting for a response. And a complaint to me is someone who is not satisfied with something. Not satisfied with something. And when you're not satisfied with something, do we have the patience to wait on the results when we ask for something? Or do we become impatient? We want it right away. Whatever we pray for, we want God to respond to it right away, right now. But here, the scripture is saying that when you get on your tower and you are asking or you're looking out an answer, you're looking out for a distance, that means that you can't see God. You can't, so you know that the prayer that you're sending out is going at a distance. And you got one or two ways, and that's the beautiful thing about God. You can send, thank you, Jesus, you can send out a prayer. And that prayer could take a long time to return, or that prayer could be instantaneous. And here it's saying, I will take my stand at the watch post and station myself. I'm going to stand there, station myself. So it means I am not going to move until I get my answer. I'm going to station myself on the tower. That means I'm standing there and I am waiting. And waiting until I get my response.
And I'm going to look out and I'm waiting to see what God is going to say to me about my concerns. I've petitioned my prayer. I've petitioned my concerns. And now I'm waiting for God to give me an answer concerning my complaint.
Amen.
And then it goes on in verse 2. And the Lord answered me. The Lord answered me. And what he said was, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. When we look at that, it says, and the Lord answered. The Lord sent a response. And here's what he told Habakkuk. He said, write the vision on the tablets. Make it plain. Now, when we look at this, we can look at it a number of different ways. So he may run who reads with it. Sometimes we hear others say, write it down, make it plain, so that he can run with it. We can interpret that a number of different ways. We can interpret that once he received the information and he has his tablet and he's written it down, he's running through town and he's reading what the Lord has said. Running through town telling everyone about the vision. We can look at it like that. We can look at it, the interpretation, as so that he may run who reads it. So whoever is reading it, another interpretation, whoever's reading it can respond quickly, can respond right away. They don't have to wait. They can run with the vision. They can run with that vision that God has told them. And it's saying here, it says, make it plain on tablets. It doesn't say what type of tablet it is. It doesn't say what type of tablet, in that it was probably stone. I'm thinking it could have been stone. Someone else may say that it was a tablet. It could have been on paper, some type of paper that was written down. Someone else could have said, it could have been written down and etched in something. Those who come after it can find it. There's a number of different ways that you could probably look at it. We don't know. We don't know. Symbolically, when we get a vision, he's saying to write it down. Make it plain. Another interpretation is that when God gives a vision, he wants it written down so that you will not forget it. Have you ever been asleep at night and received a revelation and you knew that it was something in your sleep that gave you the answers, but you didn't write it down? And you woke up the next morning thinking about what the vision was or what the dream was, and you couldn't remember it. It was lost. But here he's saying, take that vision and write it and make it plain so that he may run who read it. I've always used the interpretation that when I use that term, is to make it plain, is make it simple enough for anyone to understand so that they can take it and they can use it for themselves or their family or their generation. But make it so simple that it's understood by all. When I see that, make it plain on tablets. Write it in its simplest form. And when they read it, they may respond quickly, or they can take it and spread the good news or spread the gospel to the rest of the village. And it goes on to verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. But the vision, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. When we look at an appointed time, that means that it has not happened yet. God has an appointed time for all things. So if he's given a prophet or if he's given someone a vision, that means it's something that has not happened yet. It hasn't come true yet. The vision awaits its appointed time. The vision that was given to him, there was a appointed time that it was going to happen. And that's what I said before, when God wants us to be patient and wait on him, to hasten, not to be in a hurry, but to have patience. Make it plain on tablets, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. There is a time that that vision will come true. There is an appointed time. Have you heard that saying that he doesn't come when you want him to, but he's always on time? God has a time, a timing for all things. And we may not be able to see it right now. It might not even be in our lifetime. But it's going to come true. It's going to happen. Why? Because if God is not a liar. God cannot lie. So when we look at that, it says, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain." So he who runs with it. And then it goes on to say, "For still the vision awaits." That vision has been given, but it is awaiting for time for God to appoint that vision. God has his own time that he's going to allow that vision to happen. So it's almost like it's just waiting for God to give the instruction for that vision to happen. When God says go, it goes. Says now, it is now. When God says later, it is later. Waiting for the appointed time of the vision. Has God given you a vision at any time? Has God spoke to your heart and given you words of instruction to follow? Still the vision awaits at the appointed time. It hastens to the end. Hastens means something that hurries up, meaning that when it gets to the end of that time, that vision is going to rush through and it's going to happen on time.
Amen.
There is an appointed time for all things. So when it comes to the end, when it comes to the end, when God says it's going to happen, that vision is going to hasten to its appointed time. It has been appointed for a certain time, a certain date. A certain time it has been appointed to happen. Appointed time. There's an appointed time for all things in our lives. There is an appointed thing for each and every one of us in our lives. And here, the Lord assures Habakkuk that the vision hastens to the end. And he's saying to Habakkuk, it will not lie. What it means that it will not lie, it means it will happen. He's given Habakkuk the vision, and he's saying, wait on it. Because it's going to happen. Wait on it. It's going to happen. It may not be when you expect it to happen, but it is going to happen. And he assures Habakkuk that it is going to happen. The vision hastens to the end. It will not lie. What I show you, the Lord is saying it will come true. And it says, he moves on, it says, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It hurries to the end. It will not lie. It will happen on time. And then it goes on in verse 3. It says, if it seems slow, wait for it. If it seems slow and it's not happening as fast as you want it to happen, wait for it. The Lord is telling Habakkuk, wait for it. Be patient because it's going to happen. We're not God. And in our human nature, we have a tendency of wanting things to hurry up. It's almost like this situation that we're going through now. Even though that we're going through this coronavirus and everything is happening, everybody is rushing, you know, wants the rush and get over, God is saying that he has his appointed time, that his word will come to fruition. And he's saying, wait on it. Because I'm going to come and I'm going to handle this. But you have to wait on it. You have to be patient. See it through. Be obedient and wait on it. It will come true. Sometimes, again, things do seem slow. Sometimes when we're in a waiting process, it seems slow. But God is saying, even though it's slow, it's coming. Although it may seem slow to you, it is coming. Wait on it. Wait on it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen without fail. It's coming to pass. May be slow to happen, but they will occur. My word does not come back void. It doesn't come back empty. It's going to come back full filled. So he's given Habakkuk assurance of how he wants him to respond in this situation. And he's saying that it will not delay. It may be delayed from the human perspective, but from the spiritual perspective, God is saying that it will not delay. It will come without fail. And he's saying that you must write it down. Write it down because it is not yet time for, write it down because it is not time for it to happen. But as sure as he is born, it's going to happen. And that's why it says, if it seems slow, wait for it. If it seems slow, that means that Habakkuk was kind of impatient. He said, well, wait a minute. You've already given me the vision. You've already given me the vision, Lord, and it hasn't happened yet. And he said, wait on it. Wait for it. It will happen. It will not delay. It will happen. And then it goes on to say, behold, my soul is puffed up. When I think about someone who's puffed up, that's someone who just doesn't listen. Someone who's proud. Not someone who's humble, but someone who's proud. Someone that does not hear because it's not happening the way they want it to happen. When I think about that, puffed up, arrogant, proud. My soul is puffed up. It is not upright with him. It is not upright. It is not upright within him. But it says in the end, but the righteous shall live by his faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Believing that God's word is true. Believing that God says what he says and means what he means. Faith, no matter what it looks like or how it appears in the human lens, God is seeing it from another lens. He's seeing it another way. We're looking at the problem. God has already seen the solution. Being humble and waiting for God to do what we know he does best. He is a timely God. He knows everything. He sees everything. He is the creator of everything. And he's saying, don't be puffed up. Don't be puffed up. Don't be too proud. Because people are looking at you because of your faith in God. Don't be too proud to acknowledge who God is. Don't be arrogant. Don't be selfish. But know that God is a God that cannot lie, that will not lie. And if he has given you a message, if he has given you a vision, count on it to happen. God is saying it's in waiting. It's just waiting for its time. God has an appointed time for all things. And when that vision or that time comes, that vision has been assigned to that appointed time. And that vision does not delay. It hastens to reach its destination in a timely manner. It hastens to occur when God says it's going to happen. So therefore, it is always on time. May not be far from our human perspective, from how we see things, but it will happen. That's what faith is. Things that we can't see, but we know it's going to happen. We know it's coming. And that's where God wants you and I to believe in his word. What is his word? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. A lamp unto our feet, that means it guides and directs our walk in life. A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It lights up the way so that we are walking according to God's command. We are walking according to God's instructions. We are walking according to God has what God has appointed for us, the path that he has appointed for us. That's the direction that we're going. And as we're walking this path, that journey that God has placed in our path, continue walking that journey by faith. of knowing that God has already planned it out for us, even before we started. He already has it planned out for us. And there's an appointed time for all things to happen. Taking time out to pray. Taking time out to have a special relationship with God. Taking time and making sure that we're walking according to God's ways and not man's ways. Taking out time. No matter what it looks like, how we see it and how God sees it are totally different. And then sometimes it can be the same. But you know what? God is much bigger than us, so I'm sure that we can't see what God is seeing unless he gives us the vision. Unless he gives you and I the vision. And then he goes on to tell us what he tells Habakkuk. Wait on it. Wait on it. The vision that I asked you to write down, once you write it down, wait on it, because it's going to happen. It's going to occur. I have already set it in place to occur at a certain time. Any comments? I tried to fill in as best as I could for Pastor Miles with this scripture, but I pray that you received a word this evening. I pray that whatever was said was something that will strengthen and encourage you during these times. I pray that you will see God to how and who he really is, and not take your eyes off of the cross. Don't look at the worldly conditions, but keep your eyes focused on the cross, because there was a death and there was a resurrection, so that we might have life and have life more abundantly. God lives in each and every one of us, and we call that the Holy Spirit. Take time to spend time in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And when it speaks to you, take a journal and write it down. Take your journal and write it down. Make it plain. Make it so simple that even a child can understand it. So that whoever reads what God has instructed you to write, it will be simple. It will not be words that are so confusing that they cannot understand it. It would not be instructions that are twisted, but there are going to be instructions that anyone can follow, that they can get it right. God may have placed it on you and placed it on myself to write it down for others. Could be the next generation. But write it down. Journal. We could read scripture one day, and a month later, that scripture could have a totally different meaning. God is always working through us, through his word. He is always speaking to us through his word. That's the beauty of God. But there has to be a relationship. You have to be willing to spend time with the Lord. You have to be willing to make a sacrifice for something that's going to be greater than you can even imagine. God has given his vision. He's written it down. He's made it plain. And all he's asking you and I to do is wait on it. It's going to happen. It's already been written. It's going to happen. So as you and I, we stand on our watchtower looking at a distance. At a distance. We know that somewhere at a distance is going to show up. And God is going to show out. And God is going to be God. But he's saying, stand on your watchtower and be patient. Stand your ground in this world as a man and woman of God. And be proud. Because God is bigger than anything that we can even imagine. And there's nothing greater than being in position that you are on God's side. Making sure that you're on God's side. That relationship, that friendship that you have with Christ is real. Not what someone told you, but what you've experienced yourself. Don't look at the current situations. God already has a vision, and he has an appointed time that his vision is going to come to fruition. And all he wants you and I to do is be in position. So that we're on that watchtower, we're standing our grounds, we're believing, and we will be receiving. Amen. Mm-hmm. Dr. Suzanne, do you have any comments that you'd like to make at this time? That was my interpretation of this scripture and how God wanted me to share it with you. And overall, God is saying, just don't be puffed up. Don't get caught up in worldly things. If you're going to get caught up in anything, get caught up in God. Get caught up in Christ. And make sure that you're living by faith. Mm-hmm. When we look out today, we know that there is a God. The things that we're seeing today, we could have never imagined. God is watching. And God has an appointed time when he's going to show up, or his children, you and I. Amen? So just make sure that we're living by faith and not by sight. May God bless you.